We're here on KSOM, and we're talking high school softball, but a unique story here as we're talking about Nottoway Valley. The Wolverines co-coach is Ryan Zehner, and not only does he share the coaching duties for Nottoway Valley softball with Brian Eisbach, but he also is working with the Iowa State Patrol as part of their canine unit. Ryan Zehner with us here on KSOM. Coach, good to talk to you, and let's talk a little bit about your team right now. I mean, you're coming down the home stretch of the regular season. How are you feeling about your team as you prepare to get ready for the playoffs?
Yeah, we're, we've had a little bit of stretch here. Just, I don't know if you want to call it bad luck or balls not bouncing our way, but went through a little stretch there. Tough games. Girls are holding in there. They're trusting the process. None of them have gave up. We keep battling night after night, and kind of broke the seal last night. Went down to Central Decatur and came home with a win, 5-0 win. I'll be honest, it's the first time in quite a while that Nottoway Valley softball shut out another team. So little momentum swing for us. We go down to Afton for East Union for a makeup game tonight. Should be a good chance, opportunity for a win there also. We beat them earlier in the season. And then get ready for Monday against Kemper Catholic.
Yeah, I mean, what do you make up of the Knights? Obviously out of the Hawkeye 10, so they play a tough schedule. And you got to face them in the first round. How have you evaluated Kemper?
Yeah, we've had a long week. We've played every day this week. So I'll be honest with you, the next couple of days will be more of a scouting. Coach and I have looked at them on paper to start with. You nailed it right on the head. I mean, come out of the Hawkeye 10, I mean, they play tough competition. Looking at stats, looking at bound comparables, we're pretty similar. Stats are looking the same. Pitching's kind of looking the same. I think it's going to be a heck of a battle Monday. Obviously, they're very well coached. Don't know a whole lot about them, but next few days we're going to learn a lot more about them and come up with a game plan to compete on Monday.
Yeah, they have a tremendous hitting lineup. Their pitching has got a high ERA, so could be necessary to score some runs to get by the Knights team there. So let's talk about your coaching. How many years have now you been coaching at Nottoway Valley?
So this will be my third year.
Okay. And you and Brian have been sharing the job all three of those years, right?
Yes, we have.
Yeah. So what got you into coaching?
I think it all kind of stems from what we're kind of talking about with my leadership and supervisory role within the State Patrol. 3 years ago, Coach and I had heard rumors and stuff, and obviously Coach Eisbach has been head girls basketball coach. I think this is his eighth season. But 3 years ago, we kind of talked, and they're having some coaching changes. And they came out and said, we're looking for coaches, and the numbers were way down. And Coach and I kind of sat down one night and said, you know, we both love this sport. We both have daughters that play this sport, that love the sport. Basically, overnight said, hey, why don't we throw our names in the hat, do this together, and we don't want to see this program go away. And kind of the rest is history. Went and interviewed, and were selected, and here we are 3 years later.
Yeah. How's that dynamic work between you and Brian?
Phenomenal. I mean, off the field, on the field, I'll be honest, we're best friends. Our families have grown up together. To be honest with you, my wife, Stacy, does in-home daycare, and she has watched both their son, Max, and daughter, Izzy, since they were babies. So that's the first time we kind of met with them, and we've hit it off ever since, and just phenomenal family friends, very, very close.
So, I mean, we know you're not a teacher in the Nottoway Valley District. You work with the Iowa State Patrol, so let's backtrack even more. What made you want to become a police officer?
You talk to those kids and say, I've wanted to be a cop since I was little. I think I still have second grade, third grade. My parents still have, what do you want to be when you grow up? And it was a state trooper. And the reason for that being is my grandfather, Billy Zener out of Red Oak, was a state trooper for 38 years, retired in 1988. My uncle Craig was also a state trooper for 36 years out of Underwood. So I am a third generation out of the family. Grew up around it, loved it. A lot of my work ethic and what I want to do came from my grandfather, who I saw in the realm, saw in the uniform every day. So definitely my grandpa, got me into it. And I guess I only had a one track mind since about second or third grade, and was fortunate enough to get the opportunity with the state, and, got hired in 2005. So we're going on our 20th year, a little over 20 years of being a trooper now.
Yeah. So what propelled you into, you know, heading the canine unit with the Iowa State Patrol out of Des Moines?
Yeah, so kind of just a little backstory. Back in 2017, I took over the canine unit as a trooper. We had a canine coordinator position. It was not a supervisory role quite yet. And then January of 23, they decided to make it a promotion. I put in for that promotion, so now I am a sergeant under special operations with primarily train, evaluate canines all over the state, not only within the state patrol, but what that also has increased into is I help oversee our tactical units, our air wings, and our hostage negotiators, along with our police service dog unit.
Wow. So, I mean, every time there's like an incident, you're kind of on call just about all the time, aren't you?
Yeah, it's nightly, daily. Yeah, my phone always has to be on, and with being a supervisor, yeah, if we get called or one of my guys or gals are getting called out, yeah, it's typically not for a good situation. It's a high threat situation and needs to be acted upon quickly.
Yeah. Have you ever been called in the middle of a softball game?
Yeah, actually I have. I've had to step off with some very high risk, very issues. I've had to step away from third base. I've had to step out of the dugout for a second. But just managing that, coach knows that, and the girls know that if I say I have to take a phone call or state radio or somebody's calling, that's where that mindset changes a little bit. So they understand. I'm not just taking a phone call to take a phone call. It may be a life or death situation.
Yeah. What's that like having a conversation with your players, you know, about what you do? I mean, it's a learning experience for them, I imagine, but what was that like for you?
Yeah. You know, I think it started with the expectations 3 years ago, and we kind of talk about them, and, you know, I'm open with them. I mean, obviously I don't go into detail of what's going on, but they understand that I supervise a very high threat organization, or that I oversee a lot of, you know, units, specialty units. So I just, to be honest with you, I'm honest with them, and just let them know, hey, you know, I'm here and I'm 110% focused on you. Just know that if I do have to take a phone call, it's for a reason. And they understand that. But I also think it leads to a lot of what we think of core values, or what we think of as coaching. And they kind of learn that, you know, sometimes in life that you have to manage multiple things. Moving forward, that's one of our goals is, you know, we love to coach, and wins and losses aren't just everything. Coach and I both do this for, you know, growing these kids. They're our future. And I think it helps a little bit knowing, it is possible. It's busy, but you have to be able to manage your time. And so I think they understand. So it's not easy at times, but we get through it.
So, tell me about the dogs and what goes into the training of the canines.
Yeah, so currently right now the State Patrol, we have 7 canines throughout the state. I'm fortunate enough that I do all the selection process. I train all of our own dogs in-house. And, you know, training-wise, start to finish on a new dog, you're looking at 8 to 10 weeks for, we run dual-purpose dogs, meaning they're narcotic sniffing and they're also apprehension, tracking and evidence recovery. So when we start talking about training, you're looking anywhere 8 to 10 weeks for narcotic side and 10 to 12 weeks minimum for a patrol side. So when I start training a dog, it's anywhere from 20 to 22 weeks before they're out on the road and ready to go.
Are some dogs good for some situations, others good for other situations, or is it interchangeable?
Yeah, we train our dogs all the same, but yeah, just like us as humans, some are better at other things. Some are better tracking, some are better in the bite work, but all in all, we try to select dogs that, you know, are basically status quo, where we're, if we're called anywhere in the state, whatever dog we have the closest is going to get the job done.
So give me an example of something that you've done with one of your dogs, what his name was and what, you know, what that relationship is like for you.
So currently right now I'm on my third dog. So, I started handling dog back in 2009, had my first dog Ranger, German Shepherd. He was only a single purpose, narcotics only. Then I had, actually still current living with us is my retired, canine Milo. He was narcotics only too. And then here 3 years ago, I got my current dog, who is a Dutch Shepherd. His name's Cato. And, yeah, it's just, it's a lot of work. That's one thing, you know, you relate it to softball and managing both sides is the work ethic. These dogs are a ton of work. You know, you think about your personal dogs, probably times that by 10. When you start talking about obedience and training, it's every single day. You have to do something with them. We train every single day. It's like another kid. They live right at our house. They live with us. They're outside kenneled. It's like taking on another kid.
I guess what's the difference between coaching a dog and coaching a softball player?
You know, I just think the main thing, you know, I don't want to compare my girls to an animal by any means, with all due respect, but you know, consistency, you know, setting that tone, setting that consistency. They have to know what you expect. You have to know what they expect. And make no mistake about it. Like, I don't know if some people may think that dogs have feelings, and maybe they do, but you know, just work in that aspect. Some days are really, really good and some days aren't. So just knowing how to work through it. You know, Coach and I talk about attitude and effort is something we can control from the time we get up to the time we go to bed, no matter what. Just the consistency, expectations, consistency, training, doing the right things for the right reasons, and staying consistent is the key word.
Yeah. How can you compare how rewarding it is for you, you know, working with your dogs at the same time? You know, I'm sure you get a lot of rewards in a different way working with your players.
Yeah, you know, make no mistake about it. Where my rewards go, I mean, I'll go back to the foundation. I truly mean this. If I didn't have a wife that supported, I wouldn't be able, I'll be honest with you, I wouldn't be a sergeant within the Iowa State Patrol. I wouldn't be a coach for Nottoway Valley. I mean, it's a grind. When you start, you know, preseason, March or whatever, you know, you got to have that foundation at home, the support at home. And my wife, Stacy, is 100% does, you know, the last 3.5 months or so, she does 90% of holding the house together. I'll go 96-98%. So that's the start foundation. You got to have the support at home to be able to be successful like we have. And then just the schedule. I mean, it's a grind. But being there and she understands it and she fully supports what I do. And so that's number one key, absolutely, is that foundation support has to be there at home.
Yeah. I mean, you have to, it's a crazy schedule because you're centered in Des Moines, right? And so you got to go to commute to Greenfield back and forth.
So my office is out of headquarters, in Des Moines. So typically a day for me right now is I typically go into work about 5 a.m. To make sure that, you know, when I'm working, I have to do my primary job, but yet I'm able to get off and go into my secondary job as a coach and handle both to make sure that, you know, one's not overtaking the other and that the people I oversee, to include my kids and, you know, my unit, they need me. I got to be there. I got to be support to them. And so they know that I'm there for them and just focused on the task at hand of what we have going on that hour.
Yeah. Let me ask you, have you ever been in any some hairy situations with your dogs? Have you ever lost a dog while you're out working?
No, fortunately, we have not lost a dog in the line of duty. And to talk about hairy situations, yeah. I've been in a lot. I was part of the SWAT team for 7 years. And now our dogs are right integrated with our SWAT teams. So yeah, when we get called, but you know, at the end of the day, that's what we raised our hand for. That's what we signed up for. That's my job. Yeah, we're there and ready for the call. And, you know, obviously the number one deal for a state trooper is the public safety. I mean, that's what we signed up for, is to keep everybody safe in the state of Iowa. And that's kind of where we're at as far as hairy situations. Yeah, I don't know if we have enough time to go into a lot of them in 20 years, but that's a lot of officers. You know, 20 years ago, I'll be honest with you, our society and law enforcement has changed, and it's changed a lot. So it's getting scarier every day, and you got to make sure you lock it on. You're on your A game every day.
So how much has it changed? In what ways has it changed?
I would say a lot. You know, I'll be honest with you. When I was watching my grandfather go through his career, I think society, whether you like us or don't like us, maybe the respect factor has gone down a little bit. You know, you get some of these myths that we're out to just write tickets and ruin people's days, which is not. You know, the number one thing is, and why we do it is public safety. We start talking about troopers that write a lot of speeding tickets. You know, we're doing that for a reason. Obviously, our fatality rates the last few years have just been out of the roof. We got the under 300 incentive, meaning we want to try to keep it under 300 fatals in a year. We have not been under 300 for quite a while. So that makes it tough. You know, a lot of stuff that goes on the last 4 or 5 years with the civil unrest and a lot of situations like that, you know, some people, I think, officers in general kind of got a black eye for a while, but, you know, I would say to people, just know that we're out there to help. We truly are. The public safety is our number one concern. And that's what we signed up for.
Yeah, I don't think we can say enough good things about what you and the rest of your troopers do to protect us here in the state of Iowa. I think, you know, there's a lot said about our military, and for good reason. But I don't think there's enough gratitude said for our police officers and what they do. you know, there's just so much negativity. I see, you see it now every day, and it's happened over the last, you know, 10 years or so, maybe 20 years, like you say. I can't, on behalf of everything, I can't thank you enough for what you do and what your troopers do, in the Iowa State Patrol. And I just want that on the record for you.
Well, means a lot. We greatly appreciate that. And it's good to hear. I'll be honest with you. And it's good to hear that, Chris, it really is. It means a lot to us and all my colleagues.
Did you ever think, you know, while you were, you know, working up the ladder in the Iowa State Patrol that you would, you know, be coaching?
It's always kind of been, I've helped, for quite a, when I got stationed in Greenfield, in 2005, obviously wasn't married yet and had kids. And once my kids started playing, Coach Eisbach and myself started coaching when our kids were in second grade. So when our kids were in T-ball, Coach and I were the ones coaching there and, you know, clear up through. And it was kind of always, I don't know if I could say it was a dream, but it was an opportunity that presented itself. And I love it to be able to be part of these kids' lives. To be there to help them. Obviously, when you get a call from or prior past kids see at games, or, you know, we've had some kids that have had rough goes, and, you know, 2 years later they come up and they give you a big hug and thank you, coach. And, you know, at the time you didn't realize how much you meant in my life. That means a lot. That's why I coach. Like I said, I'm competitive, always have been competitive. I love to win, but you know, that's not necessarily true of why I coach. That right there solidifies we're doing things right. And when you got those kids that you can see go outside and they go to college and now they start having families and they come and thank you, that's what it's all about.
Yeah. Absolutely. So what are your goals for the future as a police officer and as a coach?
You know, I would say my goals is just keep moving the needle forward. When you start talking about what insanity means is doing the same thing over and over again and getting the same results, always looking to improve, improve the unit, improve the softball team. Be there, educate myself to where I can be a leader. And we go into our core values, State Patrol core values. You know, you start talking about integrity, fairness, respect, honesty, courage, compassion. Those are what we learn in the academy. And those are what I strive to, teach the kids, to where like you said before, these are our future. Out in our society, and that's the thing. Just grow these kids, be a mentor. I'm a big believer in mentorship. Find somebody that they can call, reach out in time of need, and just be there for them to grow them into adults. And once they are adults, still be there for them.
Well, Sergeant and Coach, both, Ryan, really appreciate your time. We thank you for the work you do as a sergeant on the State Patrol, and best of luck also to you and your Wolverine softball team the rest of the season. It's a pleasure talking with you. Thanks so much.
Thanks, Chris. Thank you for all the support, and it truly does mean a lot. Thank you.
Sergeant Ryan Zehner, who's also the co-coach for Nottoway Valley Softball, joining us here on KSOM.